Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's on this third Sunday of the Epiphany season. We are in the second week of a three-week sermon series that focuses on the St. Mark's mission statement, which is really the mission that God has given his church in the scriptures. This week, we're actually going to focus on the third phrase of our mission statement, the phrase you see to the right as you exit the church every Sunday that says, go with the gospel. The outreach or evangelism work of the church will be our emphasis today. In conjunction with that, we are privileged to have a guest preacher with us this morning, Pastor Nathan Moldenhauer, who is a recruitment officer from Michigan Lutheran Seminary in Saginaw, Michigan. Michigan Lutheran Seminary is one of two Lutheran preparatory schools in our church body that prepare young people for ministry by beginning that ministry training already at the high school level. And his sermon will work well with our overall mission theme today to go with the gospel. We welcome him to our service today and pray for God's blessings on his message. The opening hymn for today's service is found on page 4 of the service booklet. I'll sing the first stanza for you, and then we will join to sing the remaining stanzas and follow the order of service that continues throughout the service booklet. God bless us through his word today.
Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness.
Yeah. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips. Send to save me, O God. Give glory to God, our light and our life.
You may be seated. We join to sing the Psalm of the Day together, Psalm 67, following the instructions on page 8.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. God will bless us. earth will fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Evangelistic mission of the church is emphasized in all three of our scripture lessons for today's service. In the first lesson, we see God call the prophet Jeremiah to serve as his prophet to the nations. A reading from Jeremiah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. In our second reading for today, the Apostle Paul reminds us that for people to come to faith in Jesus, someone must preach the gospel to them. That is our privileged task as Christians today. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 10. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for today's service will also be the basis of this morning's sermon, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew in chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 556 in the red hymnal.
Grace, mercy, power, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a cornfield on my left. There was a cornfield on my right. There was corn in the rearview mirror. And as far as I could see out in front of me, you guessed it, there was more corn. At times it seemed as if the corn was growing in the back seat of my car. This was the scene as I drove through the state of Nebraska visiting several of our Lutheran elementary schools. And every 100 miles or so, I believe just for a little variety, there was a field of soybeans. The corn harvest is plentiful in Nebraska, no doubt. But so are the workers. At that time of year, late October, there's a combine harvester or two in every field. The highways and the roads were buzzing with semi-trucks pulling grain trailers. And within just a few days, all of those workers would have all of the corn cleared, all of the corn harvested. No problem. But what if that wasn't the case? What if there were only a few workers in the cornfields of Nebraska? Well, it would take them a lot longer than a few days, wouldn't it? They might not even get all of the corn cleared before winter. Now what if there weren't any workers in those cornfields? No one to drive the harvesters. No one driving the semi-trucks and the grain trailers. No one working at the mill. The corn would just stand there. Winter would come, the snow and the wind would knock it down, and the corn would decompose and perish right there in the field, and the entire harvest would be lost. What if there was no one to go with the gospel? No pastors, no young men or women training to be pastors or Lutheran teachers. No mission-minded Christians to take the message of Jesus out into their community and out into the world. What if there was no pastor to baptize your children? No Christian friends to remind you of the comfort of Jesus dying for you when you need to hear it? What if there was no one to come and knock on your door when you needed to be brought back into the fold? No one to sit at your side when you're sick and you need to hear of your Savior. What if? See, the Holy Spirit works faith into hearts of human beings like you and me through God's holy word. Yet, in God's infinite wisdom, He spreads and shares God's word with people, by people. He uses you to do this. He uses me. He uses men like your pastors. So again, what if there was no one to go with the gospel? It is with the urgency that comes along with such a question that Jesus said to his disciples, commanded them really, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus went to village to city and from city to village, preaching and teaching God's word in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news of why the Son of God was walking among sinful human beings. And as Jesus went from village to city, crowds upon crowds came to him. They brought their lame, and he made them walk. They're blind, and he made them see. They're deaf, and he made them hear. Yet as all of these people came to Jesus to be relieved of their physical affliction, our Savior's heart ached, and his stomach turned, because he saw a far greater need that every single one of those souls had. He saw a greater need than even they were aware of. The gospel writer Matthew says this: the people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But hold on a second. Didn't these people have rabbis and teachers and priests? Absolutely they did. More than the number of combine harvesters in the cornfields of Nebraska, these people had rabbis, Pharisees, teachers of the law, telling them what to do, how to act, how many times they had to wash their hands before they could possibly be clean enough to step foot into God's holy temple. Plenty of people to lay on the burden of God's law, but no one to lift off that burden and provide God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. This pained our Lord. And so then, as it is now, Christ's compassion drives the harvest for the lost. Christ's compassion on every single lost soul in every crowd that came to him. Christ's compassion on every soul to ever live in this world led him to say to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." How might have these words sounded to their first hearers? To Jesus' 12 closest followers, to the 12 disciples, how might have that have sounded? They had been with Jesus for a while now. They had heard him preach with power and authority. They heard him explain the kingdom of God. They saw many things too. They saw his power over the wind and the waves. They saw him heal many diseases and sicknesses. They saw him drive out demons. They even saw him raise a girl from the dead. But they also heard the Pharisees and the teachers of the law question and criticize his every move, his every word. They saw thankful crowds become angry riots. They heard Jesus say, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, and therefore his followers, therefore those who will go out into the harvest field, have no place to lay their head." They even heard the Pharisees claim that Jesus was in cahoots with Satan. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers? Could not have been easy words for the disciples to hear. Could not have been easy words for these men to pray. Their sinful nature would have fought that prayer. Their instinct to self-preserve would have wanted nothing to do with it. What about us? What about me? What about you? What is our reaction to the Lord's urgent command to pray for workers? Yes, we think. I can say that prayer. I'll say that prayer before I lay my head on my pillow tonight. Yes, I agree, it's good to have a day to think about going with the gospel. It's good to have a Sunday where we encourage outreach and future workers. It's quite clear from the section of Scripture that immediately follows our lesson that Jesus had a lot more in mind with this encouragement than a single prayer and a single day to think about ministry. Matthew chapter 10 begins this way. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Jesus acted on his command, didn't he? Jesus answered his prayer. He immediately called, prepared, equipped, and sent out the first men who heard him say that command. He sent out the men who earnestly took that encouragement to heart and prayed that prayer. Pray that prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, with a willingness and expectation that he might use you as the answer. Pray that prayer while asking your Lord to give you opportunities to share your faith. Pray that prayer asking him for the confidence that can only come from him to share that message with others. Pray that prayer while encouraging others, perhaps the young people of your congregation, to think about how they might use the gifts God has given them to share that message, perhaps even as future pastors and teachers. Pray that prayer with the confidence that the Lord of the harvest answers prayers. But hold on a second. That's scary. That puts butterflies in my stomach and goosebumps on my arms because he might actually do it. He might actually use me. I might have to be uncomfortable and vulnerable. It makes me nervous to share my faith with others. You mean I might have to talk about what I believe to somebody who doesn't know me? Or even worse, I might have to talk to what I believe with someone who does know me? That makes me nervous. Encourage others to do this? Talk to my children about doing that? I know how hostile this world is to Christ and his message. I don't want to make them even more vulnerable. These are the thoughts that my sinful nature encourages. These are the words that Satan whispers into my ears and into yours, trying to keep us out of the Lord's harvest field, trying to keep us from going with the gospel. These are the words that Satan whispers into our ears, trying to keep the lost on the path towards hell. Christ's compassion, which drove him to say these words to his disciples, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers," is the same compassion that drove him to do so much more. Christ's compassion for the lost drove him to this earth to be criticized and questioned, beaten and mocked. Christ's compassion for your soul led him to live in and for a sinful world, and then led him to the cross, where he died for all of your sins, all of my sins, where he died for my sin of pride, where he died for your sin of doubt and worry, even our apathy towards the fallen world. Christ's compassion led him to do that for us. And then he rose again from the dead that we might live with him forever. Christ's compassion for your soul led to the forgiveness of all of your sins, salvation, and eternal life. But his compassion for you didn't stop at the cross or even the empty tomb. But he sent a worker into his harvest field to gather your soul. He sent a worker with the word and the sacrament to welcome you into God's family. And as that worker washed water over your head and said the words that you often hear at the beginning of worship, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," God made you his very own. He shared with you the blessings of Christ's victory over death and sin. But again, Christ's compassion for you didn't stop there. But he continued to send you workers to continue to teach you of God's love and forgiveness, to baptize your children, to sit at your side when you're sick. He sent you Christian friends to give you that comfort that can only come from his word. Perhaps he sends you a mission-minded Christian to knock on your door and invite you to church. Be Christ-like in your compassion for the lost. Driven by Christ's compassion for your soul, Be part of the harvest. And you know what? You are. You are part of the harvest every time you say that prayer. You are part of the harvest when you yourself step foot into that field and share the love that God has shown you with others. You're part of the harvest when you place part of the money, part of the gifts that God has given you in the offering plate. Yes, your offering goes to support the local mission of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, but part of it goes on to train future pastors and teachers who will go out into the fields full time. You are part of the harvest when you sit down with a young person and point out all the gifts that they have that have come from God and talk about different ways that they can use those gifts to share Jesus with others. The harvest is plentiful, no doubt. There are still many souls who need to hear of Christ's compassion for them. But did you hear Jesus' wording to his disciples? It's quite comforting. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. It is our compassionate God who is in control of the harvest. It is our compassionate God who sends out workers. And it is into his field that he sends us. It is with that comfort and that confidence that we can go into the fields ourselves. It is with that comfort and that confidence, knowing that he is in control, that we continue to pray for workers. As you drive home from church today, you will be driving through a very ripe harvest. And I'm not talking about corn anymore. But you will be driving through the harvest of souls. And when you see those souls, you'll know they need to hear of Christ's love for them. But then when you open God's word, you see a Savior to whom every single one of those souls is precious. Driven by Christ's compassion and love for your soul, continue to pray for and be part of the Lord's harvest. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We continue in worship on page 10.
Please be seated as our offerings are now gathered. We join in the prayer of the church printed on page 12 in the service booklet. Just before the final petitions of the prayer, we will include special intercessions on behalf of Jeff Bogue, the son of our member Helen Giese, who will be undergoing surgery to repair a torn bicep later this week. We will also pray on behalf of Jenny Schlittenhart, the daughter-in-law of members Tom and Pam Schlittenhart, who will be undergoing cancer surgery later this week. Let us pray. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, that his way may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you.
Lord God, King of the universe, direct the governments of the world so that we may live quiet and peaceful lives. Protect us from crime and war. Let freedom of religion flourish, that the gospel may be freely preached throughout the world. Cast down rulers who oppress their people. Remove governments who oppose the gospel. Bring relief to persecuted Christians. Bless our church with pastors and teachers who faithfully proclaim your word. Lead many young men and women to study for the preaching and teaching ministries. By the power of your gospel, motivate them so that they do not become discouraged, but continue in the course you have set before them. Merciful Lord and Savior, you have promised to be with your believers everywhere and in all circumstances of life. May the assurance of your presence and loving care comfort and sustain Jeff Bogue and Jenny Schlittenhart as they undergo surgery later this week. Remove all anxiety from their hearts and lead them to rest their confidence in you. Bless the work of the surgeons and all who attend to them, and give success to these surgeries according to your will. Be with them as they recover, and fill their hearts with gratitude for all your blessings. Bless the preaching of the gospel everywhere, here among us, and in the far corners of the world. Let your kingdom come to us
and to many others.
Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen.
We join to sing the third hymn, number 576. Please stand as our service continues on page 13.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
God of our salvation, you have called us to be witnesses of the good news that in Christ the world has been reconciled to yourself. Inspire our witness that all may know the power of his forgiveness and the hope of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face ever shine upon you. The Lord grant you peace for all your days. We close with hymn 559.
It was good to be in God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to focus on our mission of going and making disciples and sharing the love of Jesus with the world. We extend a heartfelt thank you to Pastor Moldenhauer for being with us this morning and sharing God's word with us. Following the service this morning, in place of our regular Sunday morning Bible study routine, Pastor Moldenhauer will be sharing a presentation right here in the sanctuary about Michigan Lutheran Seminary, where he serves, and its role in our Synod's work of preparing future pastors and teachers. So everybody is certainly invited and encouraged to come and remain for that special presentation. A couple announcements to highlight in the announcements flyer. I'd encourage you to pick one of these up on your way out if you haven't done so already. The season of Lent is not too far away, so there's an announcement to note about upcoming midweek Lenten worship opportunities. And then we also have an organ recital coming up a few weeks from now. Please note that announcement as well. Some special opportunities ahead of us. I have several invitations to share with you this morning. The first is coming up this coming Saturday, January 30th. We'll be having our Play Day open house. It's a great opportunity to connect with families who have children who will be going into junior kindergarten or kindergarten this coming fall. So we certainly invite all of our current kindergarten students to come to that. It's going to be a good time, lots of fun for children. But if you or anybody you know might be interested in learning more about our school and possibly considering enrolling next year, I would certainly encourage you to extend an invitation to this open house. At the school counter in the lobby, you can pick up one of these blue invitation cards. It contains all the information you need, and again, it's a great opportunity for us to connect with new families for next school year. This coming week, if you're interested, we've got home basketball games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon. They start at 3:30. Our A-level teams are all off to a solid start. The girls and the boys are both 5 wins and 1 loss to date. So it's some exciting basketball that our teams play. If you're interested in sports, please be encouraged to come and check out our teams. Again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the games begin at 3:30. This coming Friday, we're going to start something new. We're going to call it the Dad's Breakfast, and we're going to invite fathers of all ages, fathers of young children, fathers of children who are long out of the house, but fathers to come and get together for some breakfast, some Bible study, and just talking shop, the joys and challenges of fathering, and an opportunity to support and encourage each other in our fathering. We're going to have it over at Denny's on Greenback and Sunrise. We're going to start at 6 a.m., bright and early. There's some more details in the announcement flyer. Everybody's encouraged to join us. That's going to be a good time. And then 2 Fridays from now, February 5th, we're going to be having our PAWS Father-Daughter Banquet. PAWS is People Active with St. Mark's. An opportunity for fathers and father figures, uncles or grandfathers, maybe even older brothers, to come and have an enjoyable evening. We'll have a nice meal. We'll focus on some of the blessings of being fathers and our relationships with our daughters. We'll share some of the things that we especially appreciate about our daughters, and there's even going to be a little father-daughter dance at the end. So there's more information about that. Actually, let me take that back. There's not information in the flyer, but at the school counter, you can pick up one of these little invitations that contains more information, and it also tells you how you can RSVP. That's 2 Fridays from now, February 5th. So that's it for my invitations. The last invitation is just we're going to share with you a winter video update of some of the fun we've been having in our school, and I'd encourage you to take a look at that.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. Took
Thank you for your time this morning. On your way out, please greet one another. And if you're interested, we'll be getting our Sunday school praise song opening started very shortly. Everybody's welcome to join us in the chapel for some singing. Thank you.